morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It's so good to be back and be connected again via technology. I just thank God that He's allowed us to be able to excel in this virtual world, especially with COVID-19 and other things that are going on. Thank God for His grace and mercy. I have a scripture that I want to share with you first and foremost today that I was in my devotion time and praying, and the scripture came up. I actually did a podcast on it. It's from Proverbs 27 and 9. Proverbs 27 and 9. Listen to this. It says, "Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel." It just really struck me. I've read that scripture over and over again. And I ask you, who are you a friend to? Who are you sweetening their life because you give good counsel and encouragement? And as Christians, we definitely need to connect with someone to encourage, especially in these days, these dark times so many are going through. So I encourage you, as you go through this week, find a friend to sweeten their lives. I just want to thank you for connecting with ebcnc.com. Thank you for your support, your prayers, your giving. God has just blessed us tremendously during this season, and your giving is just not in financial support, whether you're giving it through our Tithely app, on our app that God has blessed us with, or you're giving it by sending it into our secure mailbox, or you're in our in-person services. But your giving extends to, as I was saying before, being a friend to someone, being a part of the body of Christ. I've been encouraging people that are around me that even during our Bible study times, even though that they're virtually, maybe you want to invite someone over that is a friend to you that you have been connected with. If you're not allowing anybody into the house, maybe you can do it on the outside, and you can pause, you can go through services together, and that builds up that group friendship, that life in the spirit growing and having that fellowship. It really sharpens us. Also, I just want to thank you for your many prayers that are going up. We've had a lot of sick people, bereaved families that have been going through, people with diagnosis, and they've been having to work through that. But I am so glad that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. So without further ado, I just want to pray for you before we get into talking more about the Holy Spirit and His working on the inside of us. So let's pray.
Let us bow our head and close our eyes and focus on our Heavenly Father. O Lord, our God, how excellent is thy name. Lord, we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Thanking you, Lord, for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on that old rugged cross for our sins. Now, Heavenly Father, as we go through this service, Lord, uplift our pastor and his family. Praise them, Lord, for making sure that the gospel is spread. Then, Heavenly Father, pray for those that are living in fear. Lord, if we would just put our trust in God and lean not to our own understanding. Lord, guide us each day as we go through these trials and tribulation. Father, we want to pray for the Ebenezer Baptist Church family and all other church families through the world. Father, have mercy upon that lost sinner. Lord, as we on our knees thinking of those that in hospitals, rest home, and all our emergency officials. Oh, Father, just put your arm of protection and guide us. Let us not forget where the Lord brought us from. He said He would not suffer us to leave us alone. He will be there when we think He's not there. He's an on-time God. He may not come when you want Him, but He's always there. Now, Lord, as we go through this service, just anoint the pastor and just let him loose and speak the truth. As we go through this day, guide us and keep us in your arms of protection. In the name of the Father, name of the Son, and the precious Holy Spirit. Amen.
If I walk through the pathway of duty, if I work till the close of the day, my Lord, I will see the great King and His beauty. Whoa. on the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, Lord, I will rest at the close of the day, my Lord. And I know there is joy that awaits. Oh, Lord, when I've gone the last mile of the way, where if for Christ I proclaim the glad story, like a sheep gone astray, my Lord, I am sure he will show me his glory. Oh Lord, when I've gone the last mile of the way, when I've gone the last mile of the way, Lord, I will rest at the close of the day, my Lord. And I know there is joy that awaits. Oh Lord, when I've gone the last mile of the way, oh, when I've gone the last mile of the way, Lord, I will rest at the close of the day, my Lord. And I know there is joy that awaits. Oh Lord, when I've gone the last mile of the way, oh, when I've gone the last mile of the way, Lord, I will rest at the close of the day, my Lord. And I know there is joy that awaits. Oh Lord, when I've gone the last mile of the way.
Aren't you glad that Jesus is Lord? I am so glad. Just to know that God has not lost control. And as we've been going through this series on the spirit, pneumatology, on that word, the study of the breath of life in our lives, I pray that you have been blessed knowing more about how God leads us and he works on the inside of us. We have this lesson today, and then we've got one more after this one that we'll be going through on the study of the Spirit. And then God has already put some other things on my heart. So I'm just blessed to be on the journey, this journey with the Lord. We've been using that topic scripture, Genesis 1 and 1, and especially looking at that second verse, that middle part, and it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And that is the transformative power of the Spirit that's in our lives, that is introduced and given to us through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. The Lord has blessed so, so much. Today's scripture I want to focus on, I want to go to 1 John, 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3 and the 24th verse, 1 John chapter 3 and 24. And while you're focusing in on that, getting your note-taking devices, or just preparing yourself to receive from the Lord, I ask you to go in a word of prayer with me. Father, I thank you for this day that you have made. Lord, you said that we can rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I thank you that you are a saving God. You have so much an abundance of grace. And I pray for those who are looking in and listening, Lord, if there's someone that's not saved, that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift. Thank you, Lord, for that. Now, Lord, I ask you to move me out of the way, forgive me of my sins, and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Thank you for being Lord of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John chapter 3 in that 24th verse. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. I want to speak from a subject today. He abides in me. He abides in me. As I was processing and studying, going through this, I think this is one of those titles that we all need to repeat together, because we really need to know the significance as we've been teaching on the Spirit being on the inside. So if you would repeat after me or with me, he abides in me. That's where we want to understand God's presence abides in us. The time frame of this particular book is around AD 90. John is speaking to this church as an elder. He is aged, and he has a lot of experience walking in the Spirit. He is teaching them on the walk of righteousness, that their steps are truly ordered by God and to be submissive to his Spirit. He has just finished dealing within the scriptures, the things that really grieve the Holy Spirit. And so now he is encouraging them even more that the Spirit of God abides in you. And if the Spirit of God abides in you, then there's some things that are going to come out of that. Look at 1 John 3:16. He says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Isn't that heavy? I'm going to read that again, because, man, every time I go through this, I'm like, wow, this is serious. It is very serious. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Here's our first point. Holy Spirit sacrifice. Holy Spirit sacrifice. I'm telling you, when we have a recognition of God's Spirit on the inside of us, it causes us to do things that are contrary to our flesh. Walking with Bianca, being married with her, going on almost 30 years now, just thinking about our relationship, I've learned more about her and she's learned more about me. And there's some things, because I care about her, I sacrifice for her. And there are some things that I may want to do that I don't do any longer because she doesn't like that, or it may not be a comfort level for her. I remember when we first were dating, I used to take her to look at horror movies and Freddy Krueger and things of that sort. And it was funny to me. Since then, I realized that it can be serious. You can introduce yourself to a lot of things, but it was just funny. I was just having a good time. And I realized quickly that this was offensive to my wife, that she was actually scared, and it disturbed her. And so for an extended period of time, it took me a little bit, but I realized, man, if I want to be with her, I'm going to have to sacrifice. And this is the same process that comes with the Holy Spirit on the inside. If we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, there must be some sacrifice. And this sacrifice is going to extend to loving others. A theologian, Farstead, gives us a concise understanding of this. He said, this means that our lives should be a continual giving out on behalf of other believers, and that we should be ready to die for them also if necessary. Isn't that heavy? Most of us will never be required to die on behalf of others, but every one of us can manifest brotherly love by sharing our material things with those in need. He abides in us. This is important because this dying can mean in a physical sense, literally laying down your life for someone, but also sometimes we need to die in our speech. We need to stop gossiping and backbiting and talking about other people. When a lot of times our flesh arise up, we need to shut those things down, and we need to crucify the flesh as we've taught so often on a daily basis. Our society runs at such a fast pace, and we're taught that it's about me, myself, and I. We're so selfish and focusing on ourselves. How often do we fail the Holy Spirit's mandates of actually allowing ourselves to be put out and onto the sideline so that the Holy Spirit can be first? In other words, how often do we fail in allowing God just to be God, and we sacrifice our wants and our desires? Romans 12:1 encapsulates this. It said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your," this is heavy, "reasonable service." That's your reasonable. In essence, God is saying, this is the least that I expect of you. I expect you to give 100%+ to me. Romans 12:2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." He abides in me. This is a constant walk, a growing process. There are things that we used to do that we don't do anymore, because we are being transformed. We're in God's word. We're praying more. We're understanding and learning about the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So now we're becoming more like Christ. Look at 1 John 3:17-18. "He abides in me. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Here's another point. Cold hearts. Cold hearts. Isn't it sad, as we think about our society, that there are so many people that have been blessed? And I believe all of us, if you're able to listen and view in, you've been blessed because you have some kind of access to technology that many parts of the world don't have access to. And God has blessed us tremendously. But so often we can hoard those blessings that the Lord gives us. We must realize that God puts people's needs in our pathway. Let me say that in another way, that as we're going through our day, God brings people who have needs and they cross our paths. And I believe this happens every day in some capacity. It may not be you giving physically money, but it could be a word of encouragement. It could be an embrace. It can be just a smile. But in this process, God allows us to give. He allows us to express God's presence on the inside of us. Hebrews 13:1-2 has always been an amazing scripture to me. It says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels." Let me read that again. It says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels." I love that. Strangers, angels, all connected together. Now, this happened years and years ago, and I only have all the details clear in my mind, but I remember someone came up to me, and I was just been praying, just seeking the Lord, and they wanted some food. And so what I did, I actually took them to a place to eat at, and I fed them. I sat down with them, and they were eating, and I was just kind of looking back and forth. And after that, I actually left the restaurant, and I forgot something. I don't know why I went back in, but literally, I went out to my car and came back in pretty quick, and that person that I had left eating was gone. They had just disappeared. And it was the strangest feeling on the inside, thinking, man, could that have been an angel? Could God have allowed that angel to cross my pathway that day just so that I could realize that God abides in me and I could reach out and give? Look at this closely, this 1 John 3:18, that second part. It says, "Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." A lot of times we can put a lot of tongue action in work. There ought to be some amens. Man, we can say, oh, how I love Jesus, and we can talk about how Christians we are, how good of Christians we are, but when it comes to action, that's when it really comes to the rubber meets the road, that as Christians learning about the Spirit of God, God wants more than your tongue action. He actually wants you to do something. You ever been around a person that could talk a big game, but when it actually came to doing, assisting, or helping, you couldn't find them? Jesus even challenges some fake followers. That's what we're going to call them, fake followers within the scriptures. Luke 9:57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus jumps right to the heart of the intent. He's like, you want to follow me, but you don't realize this is a rough life. I don't live in a palace. I don't have servants that are just all around me to my every need. There's some nights that I'm praying all night long and I'm not going to a specific place to stay, but yet you want to follow me. He challenges them even more in Luke 9:59. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. 9:60. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. He abides in me. I'm telling you, this is some tough standards as Jesus is putting forth to these people, saying that I will follow you. And they hit other things and other excuses. And it seems like a great excuse at this point. But Jesus saying the primary of everything is my spirit, is my mandates, my commandments for you. Notice 9:61 and 62. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Lord, help us. I'm telling you, he abides in me. As we see those extreme mandates, that's why we need Jesus. That's why we need the Holy Spirit on the inside, because we cannot do it in ourselves. And any hallelujahs out there, we can't do it, but we find out when we're weak, then we are strong. Look at 1 John 3:19-20. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Here's another point. The spirit and the heart. The spirit and the heart. He abides in me. Now, as we're dealing with the leadership of the Holy Spirit, sometimes there's going to be some struggles that comes. And the scripture brings out, when we come in line with God's Spirit and what he is calling us to do, there's a peace that comes forth in walking in the truth of God. Isn't that good? And there's so many witnesses out there that are listening and viewing me now, that we have peace that's in our hearts when we know that we're right in line with God's presence, that we're following what he would have us to do. 3 John 3:4 explain this. It says, for I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He abides in me. That's what the Spirit of God does for us. It really leads us to walking in more truth, to in our days and our times, making those right choices. And as we go through our days, when we're getting it right in the Spirit and we're pleasing God and we're not grieving his Holy Spirit, there comes a peace that goes beyond all understanding. The Contemporary English Version actually captures it even more, of this 19 and 20 verse. It says, when we love others, we know that we belong to the truth and we feel at ease in the presence of God. But even if we don't feel at ease, God is greater than our feelings and he knows everything. He abides in me. God knows everything that goes on the inside. He knows that for us that many times it's hard to make those right decisions. Any hallelujahs? There's a struggle. Our flesh is fighting and warring against the spirit. Our flesh tries to distract us. Sometimes we can feel like, you know what, we're hitting a wall. We just can't take it anymore. We're going to throw in a towel. But isn't it so good to know that God is bigger than our emotions? He's bigger than our feelings. This scripture in Philippians 4:6 really gives me encouragement, and I pray it blesses you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That seventh verse, and the peace of God, we quote this so often, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. He abides in me. As we really embrace the presence of God, this is the peace, man. I want all of us to walk in more peace. Put it in the chat. Say peace, peace, peace. That's what we want in our lives, just peace. If we would think about, you know, there are a lot of $1 million lotteries out there, and we've got the COVID vaccine lottery, $1 million, and people are making money. But in spite of all that money, just give me peace. I'm telling you, if we can have peace, it doesn't matter if we don't have a lot. Just having the peace of God and understanding who we are, children of the Most High God. He abides in me. Look at 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Here's another point. How to walk in confidence. That's what we want. How to walk in confidence. When we get past our flesh and our failures, our confidence begins to grow in the Lord. And we do have so many failures and so many struggles within our lives. But when we start to ebb past those things and begin to walk more in God and are more in the scriptures and learning more about Him, we our confidence builds. It's not really about us, but our confidence in God and that connection. Our faith is growing. And we're not sinless, but we know how to quickly ask for forgiveness. Any hallelujahs? We have a quick awareness. Okay, I've messed up and I need to get back into the fellowship with God so quickly. The Spirit helps us to understand our nature in 1 John 1:8. It said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Yes, this 1 John 1:9, man, I've become acquainted with this for years and years. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He abides in me. He abides in us. This is so important as we're walking a life of peace in the Spirit. There are going to be some times we're going to mess up. And in those times, don't stay there. Ask God for forgiveness and say, God, change me. Make me more like You. 1 John 1:10 brings it back home again. It says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. He abides in me. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, because within ourselves, we cannot make this. I'll say that again. Within ourselves, we cannot make this. Look at 1 John 3:22 and 23. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Another point, the Spirit helps us to please the Father. The Spirit helps us to please the Father. As we've been going through the scriptures, you could kind of see that summary thought. The Spirit abiding in us helps us to please our Heavenly Father. Remember, Jesus actually gives us insight on this whole thought of commandment. You know, what is the greatest commandment? What is the second commandment? Some of you are already there. Mark 12:28. Then one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? 29th verse, Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. So putting God first, understanding that He's allowed His Spirit to abide in us, and we love Him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Mark 12:31 says, and the second is like it is this, you shall love your your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. This can only be done, again, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit and God abiding in us, that we can even please the Father. We can even make Him happy. As I was studying this, I was thinking about this example. God just brought it up in my heart, and I really never saw this particular scripture like this, but God just blossomed it through His Holy Spirit. It actually comes from Esther chapter 2 in the 15th verse. Now, Esther, to give you a little history, she's a young lady, and she hasn't even had her thoughts on becoming queen of a particular area. She hadn't even thought about that, but Vashti had messed up with the king, and all of a sudden, all these beautiful girls are brought into the palace, and they're trained up. And Esther does not have a background to be a queen. She really doesn't. She is a beautiful young girl, but she's brought into the palace, and now all of these girls are being trained to become the queen. But yet they have to be chosen by the king. And here we pick up Esther 2:15. I want to show you something. Now when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter to go into the king, she requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women, advised. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all those who saw her. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. Let me explain this. Haggai, he is the counselor there. He is the one that's getting the girls together. And what he does is he tells Esther what to take to go before the king. The reason he does that, because he understands the king. He's been around the king. He understands what pleases the king. And all the girls could choose whatever they want. But Esther said, since this guy has been around for a long time, I'm going to choose what he tells me to. And in essence, you find out in the scripture that she received favor from the king. She was blessed because she listened to Haggai, this consultant. And this is the same thing what the Holy Spirit does for us. I'm talking about He abides in us. Some of there ought to be some shouts out there. When we listen to God's Spirit and we're led of the Holy Spirit, we get favor from God. There ought to be some shouts of praise, because now it's not about us, but we're listening to His presence. We're following His presence, and God is excited to see us walk in truth and to bless others and to submit to Him and to submit to His ways. Psalm 90 gives us a beautiful picture of this in that 17th verse. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. There ought to be some folks that say, put in the chat, favor. When we got the Spirit of God and He abides in us and we really embrace that, we've got favor in our lives. I talked about it last Sunday. When we walk in the room, there's favor with us. We can change the atmosphere, because now greater is He that's in me, in us, than he that is in the world. Look at 1 John 3:24. He abides in me. Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Here's another point. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. God's very dwelling in us is a gift. Yes, yes, it is. By grace through faith and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, it lets us know that. 2 Corinthians 4:7 explains it even further. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. He abides in me. So often we take for granted the gift that God has given the believer. We've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and He has given us a gift of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit abides in us every day, every second, every minute, ordering our steps and causing us to be transformed, to be more like Him. Romans 8:9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. So we know as believers, we have to have the Holy Spirit. He abides in us. Romans 8:10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because
because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Somebody say life. Life is in us. He abides in us. Romans 8 and 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I am telling you, when I think about that whole process of God saving us and delivering us, I've got to go to the cross of Calvary where nails were put in Jesus' hand and nails were put in his feet. You know what? He carried our sins and bore our griefs so that we could have that gift of the Holy Spirit, that he could abide in us. He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold tomb, but 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory so that we could have this spectacular gift of the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us. And so many times we need to think how good God has been to us and all that he's done for us. And there should be some exhilaration that arises from the depths of our soul to know that God's very presence, his Spirit, dwells in us. I was thinking about this. Remember, Jesus got up and he went back to his disciples, and many of them didn't believe it was him. But finally, he showed infallible proofs that he was the Messiah. He had gotten up from the dead. And John 20, 21 and 22, it actually reveals something. It says, so Jesus said to them, peace to you. Remember, we were talking about peace. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. That 22nd verse. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He abides in me. He abides in us. As the body of Christ, this is a spectacular time for us. Even though there's darkness, there's crazy stuff that are going on. God is saying, I've allowed you to be living during this season. And as a believer, you've got my very presence, the Holy Spirit, on the inside of you. He is abiding with you, and he is changing you from the inside out. You're being transformed. It says it does not yet appear what we're going to be like, but we know when we see him, we're going to be just like him. That's what God is doing in us. And also, he's helping us to love the brethren, to reach out, to show kindness, to embrace all by his Spirit. I encourage you today to embrace more the leadership of the Holy Spirit and to know that God is faithful. If you don't know Christ today and you're looking in, man, why wait any longer? I'm telling you, this world is failing. It is. It is falling apart. But I want to introduce you to someone who will never fail. His name is Jesus. Yes, that same one that we talked about on that cross of Calvary. He died for you, but he got up on the third day with all power. And he says, if you confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. Man, that is good news. Receive that grace. Receive that gift. And when you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you. And oh, what a day. There's going to be some struggles. Your flesh is going to fight. But I'm telling you, I am so encouraged to know he'll never leave you nor forsake you. For the saints out there, the believers out there, I pray today that we embrace God's leadership more, that we celebrate that the Holy Spirit abides in us on a daily basis. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for these scriptures. Thank you for this confirmation, God. Oh, that your Holy Spirit is inside of us, that you abide with us, that you love us so much, Lord, that you're quick to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But most importantly, Lord, as we submit ourselves, oh, we can have that peace of you that goes beyond all our understanding. Thank you for peace in times like these. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for abiding in us. Father, thank you for your gift. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. In his wonderful name, Jesus the Christ, I pray. Amen.
Let Jesus, boom, 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 let him fix it. Fix it for you. Y'all help me. You are because he knows just what to do. Yeah.
yes, he does. Whenever, ever you come on and let the Lord have his way, because I know Jesus, yes, he will. For you, this is what he said. If you ask him to loan you a helping hand, oh Lord, I know he'll bring peace all over the land. Yes, he will. All and let the Lord have his way, cause I know, yes he will, he will fix it for you, he will fix it for you. I'm going to say that for Sister Rub, if you ask him just to loan you a helping hand. He said, that's what she said. I know you bring peace all over the land. Yes, he will. Come on, put your hands together. Whenever, ever you're let the Lord have his way, cause I know, yes he will, he will fix it for you, he will fix it for you. Listen, it was one morning, one Sunday morning, early before the crack of day, I heard my grandmama say, we got to have prayer. Yes, she did. My granddaddy say, whenever you, y'all just let the Lord have peace, cause I know, yes he will fix it for you, he will fix it for you.